Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and returning from his move is Dan the Man. So look at that. He did make it back to visit us. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings. So you can still swing over there and catch up on the one that went up Wednesday morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we'd greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are both on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man.
All right, Dan. Well, I rolled up a FanDuel lineup that I thought was going to be pretty good yesterday. And, wow, man, Robbie Ray went out, and he was a dog. So he just buried me because, you know, I spent quite a bit of money getting him into my lineup, and he did not pay off. Ended up with just 16 points. So that lineup scored a little under 100 points, so I bid it there. We're moving on. See what we can do today. So here's what I came up with. I am going to start off with one of Dan's guys. I'm going with Dallas Keuchel for $8,900. He's pitching against the White Sox. You know, I know the White Sox have hit a little better lately, but I figure Keuchel's going to get the win because the Astros should win the game. So I'm hoping that goes my way. And they're a young team. They do strike out. So I'm hoping I can, you know, rack up some points with him. Catcher, I'm going with Wilson Contreras tonight for $3,400. He's hitting cleanup for the Cubs. First base is Matt Carpenter of the Cardinals. He's $3,900, and he's leading off for them. Second base is Neil Walker of the Brewers. He cost me $3,100. He's hitting second for the Milwaukee tonight. Manny Machado at third, $3,500. He's hitting second for Baltimore tonight. Carlos Correa at shortstop. Yeah, I know I've been on this for a while now. He needs to break out for me. I keep using him, and maybe I'm jinxing him, but we're going with him again. He's hitting cleanup for the Astros tonight. Cost me $3,400. In the outfield, I'm going with Charlie Blackmon to start. He's $4,400. I'm waiting for the Rocky lineup to come out, but I do have the feeling Charlie Blackmon will be in it when it does, probably leading off. Corey Dickerson is my next outfielder at $2,300. He's hitting sixth for the Rays tonight. And then I went with his teammate, Malik Smith, who cost me just $2,000, and he is leading off for Tampa Bay tonight. So the quick recap I got you here. Dallas Keuchel pitching, Wilson Contreras catching, Matt Carpenter at first, Neil Walker at second, Manny Machado at short, Manny Machado at third, Carlos Correa at short, and the outfield is Charlie Blackmon, Corey Dickerson, and Malik Smith. That, of course, is for, you know, the 605 main league tonight. So you got just about 31 minutes to get your lineup in. So good luck for, you know, to you tonight, and hopefully you knock out some wins. So I did see, Dan, they're going back to doing some of these nickel and dime and stuff. I think I saw a contest for 12 cents earlier. So I guess that must have done pretty good business, and they're, you know, they're going to keep going with it, huh?
Why not? I guess a bunch of people enter a game and, you know, waste some money.
Yeah. Now, did you have any luck? Did you play in any of those? Did you have any luck cashing some money with any of those smaller, you know, leagues like that?
No, and I'm completely horrible when it comes to picking football. So it's going to be a long NFL season.
Yeah, I, you know, I was joking around, you know, last week we had all those goofy contests, and I got in a few of them. And the best lineup I had, I know you'll get a kick out of this one. Jay Cutler was my quarterback. So that's how that lineup went. So we'll you know, we'll have to see how you know, how it goes. But I know they do have some free NFL lineups as well. So I'm sure, you know, as the week moves on, Dan will have to, you know, jump in on those and see what they have going on. But yeah, it's you know, it's definitely they're definitely interesting, I guess, is the nicest way I can describe it without incriminating myself too badly. So, you know, we'll have to see. But all right, so what is, you know, you've been gone for a while, so what is fun for you that's been going on? What have you seen that you liked?
I don't know. I quickly went through the news this morning and nothing really stood out.
So, well, you know, I you know, we can start locally here because obviously that's stuff we're always on top of. You know, pretty big four-game series getting rolling tonight. You know, the Cubs are in Milwaukee. I know Jake Arrieta is pitching for the Cubs. I did not see who the Brewers in turn are starting. You know, I'm sure I can bet real quick here and get a bit of a matchup going. But what do you think? I mean, how big of a series do you consider this at this point? I mean, we're running out of games.
Well, the Brewers have Zach Davies on the mound tonight, and he's been pretty solid.
Is that who it is?
I mean, it's make or break for, I think, both teams. You know, the Cubs need, two of these four games.
Yeah, you know, obviously, you know, it was, you know, last whatever that was about, I think it was 9 or 10 days ago, you know, Milwaukee came to Chicago and swept the Cubs. You know, I think if the Cubs can just get away with a split here, they're in really good position, aren't they?
I mean, I forgot the magic number. What is it, 8?
Yeah, I don't even, might, yeah, it might be. I didn't even, didn't even look or check. So.
You know, definitely gives them that boost. I mean, the Brewers just lose.
But yeah, you know, I figure, you know, again, you know, I mean, if the Cubs just pick up the split, you know, it keeps everything even with, you know, there can't be more than 10 or 11 games to go. So, you know, they'll, you know, get kind of, you know, kind of really put the Brewers up against the wall. You know, I guess the question now, and I guess, or I think it's probably the best time Colorado managed to draw San Diego in the schedule. You know, Milwaukee's only about a game and a half out of the wild card. I think St. Louis is only 2.5. Do you think either of them, you know, if the Cubs win the division, you think Milwaukee could find its way into the wild card?
I think they can, but without their number one, I don't think it's even worth it.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you know, what they always say is, you know, you just have to get in, you know, so it's, you know, it's definitely, you know, one of those issues, you know, once you're in, anything can kind of happen type of deal. But yeah, I do kind of wonder,
if
they do it.
I'm sure Colorado's rooting for the Cubs right now.
Yeah, you got to figure they're pretty big fans with the way, you know, the way this has went for everybody. But yeah, it's just been kind of weird how Colorado kind of just slipped back to the. the pack. You know, I think with the Indians on that long winning streak, nobody really realized that Colorado was kind of scuffling, and you know, they, like, I don't think they had a really long losing streak, but you know, they just kept kind of dropping, you know, a couple games here, a couple games there. I don't think they were winning series. And yeah, you know, all of a sudden it's like, oh, hey, look, everybody's back in the race, and what the hell, you know, what the hell is going on? So.
Well, I was looking at it, and they've gone 5-for-5 in the last 10, and they're on a 3-game losing streak. You know, they just dropped.
Yeah.
Their loss, was it last night to San Francisco?
Yeah, they it was just a game series with San Francisco, but I believe they got swept. You know, the kind of the San Francisco team I think we expected to see a, you know, a long time ago. They played really well against Colorado. But yeah, you know, they did, they had a, what is it here? Uno, dos, tres. A 6-game winning streak, and then they've lost 5 out of their last 7 after that. So, you know, and, you know, and it was weird because, like, they, you know, they beat the Dodgers 4 in a row that when the Dodgers were really scuffling. Then they beat Arizona 2 in a row before Arizona turned it around and took 2. You know, and then they lost 3, you know, 3 of the next 5. You know, again, I think obviously it's a good time to run into San Diego. I mean, not, you know, the worst team in their division, so they can kind of maybe get things righted. I mean, they got 4 with San Diego and then 3 with Miami to kind of get things straightened out, because they close with 3 against the Dodgers, and I don't think you want those games to mean anything, do you?
No, you don't.
So, you know, we'll have to see. Where the heck is it? There we go. I wanted to check the Brewers schedule. I mean, obviously, we know they've got these 4 games with the Cubs, you know, which in reality, I mean, if Milwaukee could sweep, they could actually win the division. Then they do go, you know, they're at home for the 4 against the Cubs and then 3 against Cincinnati. They finished the year with 3 on the road against St. Louis. So that could be kind of an interesting series, depending on how things shake out for, you know, the Cardinals coming up here. So there, you know, there's going to be some, you know, a lot of, you know, excitement or attention or, you know, however you want to look at it. I mean, I saw where, you know, the Mickey Mouse Network jumped back into covering games all of a sudden. You know, they had 3 yesterday, and I think they've got another one today. So, but St. Louis, you know, they're wrapping up their series with Cincinnati tonight. In Cincinnati. Then they go to Pittsburgh for 3. They have to come here. I didn't realize they're coming. Or no, they're at home, actually. They're hosting the Cubs in a 4-game series before they close out with 3 against Milwaukee. So St. Louis is going to have to make some hay, you know, in these next 4 games to get ready for the Cubs. You know, I guess kind of circling back to the Cubs, how big a start is this for Arrieta? You know, coming off the DL, it's been a few weeks, you know, and then especially following up what was just an oddly horrible John Lester outing last night. You know, does it add a little more, I don't know, urgency or issue for Arrieta to go out and look like a number one?
Oh, yeah. Big time. I mean, especially with how calm he's been about it.
You know, of course, you know, I'm still convinced that the worse everybody else looks on the Cubs staff, the bigger the contract Arrieta is going to be able to ask for from them. But yeah, I mean, I don't even really know how to describe it. Lester just kind of melted down in the 5th inning. You know, I mean, again, it's one game, you know, it's not that big a deal. I think the reason that it's a little more amplified is the fact that it was, you know, we're just kind of running out of time. And, you know, he has kind of scuffled this year. I mean, he's 11-8, and that ERA is, you know, up over 4.5 now. I thought I saw, I got to double check here. 4.56. You know, I mean, it's not like Tampa Bay had been tearing the cover off the ball. You know, obviously, you know, you're the bigger Cub fan out of the two of us. Do you worry come playoff time that the pitching is just going to let this team down?
Not Wade Davis until he gets over you.
Yeah, but, you know, how do you get him the ball?
Chris Bosio.
You know, I mean, obviously, you know, you can't bring, even though Wade did used to be a starter, I don't think you can bring him in the fifth inning and go, all right, buddy, you got to go four and then do it again the next night. You know, I know they were crying. I heard them crying up a storm on the TV the other day because Madden was going to use him for a third day in a row after he had thrown, it ended up being 52 pitches in 2 days, or no, it was 42 pitches. And they were already crying about it. So I don't know what they're going to do if, you know, he's got to pitch 3 games in a row in the playoffs. So, you know, and obviously it's the broadcasters who were crying about it. It has nothing to do with the team or anything. But, you know, even odder last night is, you know, Tampa Bay is one of the teams that strikes out quite a bit. They have one of the higher strikeout totals in Major League Baseball. Lester didn't strike out any of them yesterday.
You know, I guess they haven't really followed not having him and not having picked him for any FanDuel lineups. Have you been a big strikeout guy this year?
You know, I don't think he's been a huge one, but, you know, you figure when you're kind of going against a team that manages to strike out, you would just kind of accidentally run into him. He has 169 strikeouts in 30 starts. So he has had 9 a couple times, and he had a 10 back against the Cardinals in July. So he has managed to put up some, you know, decent strikeout numbers, but, you know, the thought of a pitcher like John Lester just getting none in a game is just almost baffling to me. But, yeah, you know, is it panic time? Can we get the panic time? I mean, Chris Sale did just go over the 300 strikeout mark yesterday, and Lester couldn't get a Tampa Bay Ray. So do we start to freak out? And, well, you know, I guess I'll ask you the question I heard them talking about on the radio. When it comes to game one of the playoffs, do you go with Lester as your number one, or are you looking at an Arrieta? Because, you know, they're not going to go with Kyle Hendricks.
I think you have to stick with the plan. You got to go with Lester.
You know, and to be fair, he's been a, you know, for the majority of his career, John Lester has been a very good postseason pitcher. You know, I know he happened to be that guy, and I believe it was that fateful game with the A's where they, like, gave away quite a big lead, but I believe overall, I'm going to hunt down his record here. Yeah, he has actually pitched in 22 postseason games, believe it or not, 3 of them in relief. And while his record is only 9-7, so he doesn't have a great one loss record, but his ERA is 2.63. So, you know, while he's not winning games, he's not giving up a boatload of runs either. And it looks like that he did go 3-0 for the Cubs last year in his 6 appearances. So yeah, I guess, you know, that gives him the kind of the wherewithal to say, hey, you know, this guy's got the experience, we're gonna go with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, unless Arrieta goes out there the next 2 games and, you know, throws 7-8 innings, gives up 5 hits.
Throws back-to-back no-hitters.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, you know, just how that works out. And then, you know, of course, what a lot of the, you know, the teams are concerned with, you know, you want to stay away from injury. Well, there was one afternoon game today. I believe the Dodgers, where's the score? Come on, there you go. Yeah, the Dodgers beat the Phillies 5-4. And the last thing the Dodgers need is, you know, any type of injury. Well, Justin Turner got hit in the hand. He's now listed as day-to-day. They did take x-rays that they said were negative. So it's looking like it's more of just a going to be a bruised right thumb, as they're calling it now, than it is going to be a break or anything. But, you know, this late in the season, you know, they've got to give him some time off, right? They sit him and let him, you know, kind of let him fully recover before you run him back out there for maybe 8 or 10 at-bats at the end of the season.
I mean, they're pretty much in the position to. I don't think you want to risk it.
You know. I mean, I understand he's an MVP candidate, and missing games is gonna, you know, hurt his candidacy. But him going out there with a bruised thumb and going, you know, say 0-for-12 or whatever, isn't gonna help it either. And as great as it would be to say, hey, all right, this guy won the MVP, obviously it's more important for the Dodgers to win the World Series, which they haven't done in a while, which people continue to point out. So. So yeah, just you know, just the fun.
Well, that doesn't help that, you know, Stan wasn't on the 5-year plan, and
yeah,
you know, the Cubs won the World Series, and he did. So I think that gets kind of thrown in your face.
Yeah, you know, it's odd. I mean, you know, the Dodgers really, you know, they did everything right. They got to. You know, they got to the playoffs, I think, just about every year now. And they just haven't put it together to win it all. And I think, you know, more and more people really expected it. I mean, especially when you've got a staff led by Clayton Kershaw. So, I just wonder, you know, you just wonder if or when it's going to happen, right?
Well, I think all of LA is waiting and wondering.
You know what I mean? For a while there, it looked like it was going to be, you know, their year. It looked like they were never going to lose a game again. Obviously,
yeah.
You know, it was a little early to be, you know, jumping up and down on that bandwagon. But, you know, I mean, they're still definitely a, you know, a contender. And, you know, they're going to be right there in the end. So. We'll just have
to kind of back them up. They've been in a better position than the Angels have been.
Yeah, you know, you know, the Angels tried. You know, they spent a bunch of money. They just spent it poorly. You know, they spent a bunch of money on Josh Hamilton, and then they spent a bunch of money on C.J. Wilson, and it just wasn't really the best investments there. And you know, I mean, I know Pujols hasn't been Pujols he was. Well, you know, he hasn't been the Pujols that he was with the Cardinals, but he's still been, you know, he's still been decent enough. I know Sabermetrics pointed him out as the worst player in baseball, but I never bought that the minute it came out of, I don't remember, it was Brian Kenny or one of those other idiots who, you know, who banked on it. I mean, you know, that was just stupid. I mean, they should have thrown everything away right there once that came up, but. You know, he's not going to be worth the money. But, you know, at the time, that was the going rate. I mean, you know, we'll see how it goes when, you know, Bryce Harper or Mike Trout get their 10-year, $500 million deal. You know, what they're like in year 7, 8, and 9, 7, 8, 9, and 10 of those contracts. So. You know, just kind of how, sadly, the game eventually catches up to you. No matter how great you are, unless you get out really early. So, but, all right, Dan, I got to switch gears on you because I'm dying to know if you saw this. I only saw bits and pieces of this this interview. Did you catch the Charles Barkley interview?
No, I read a little bit about it.
Yes. Well, you know, he pointed out, of course, that he was angry. He, for some reason, he was at Southern Methodist University. I don't know if he was doing a speaking engagement or whatever he was doing, but he basically called today's players babies, pointing out that, you know, they can't play back-to-back games. It was funny because he pointed out, you know, they fly on private jets and they stay in four-star hotels, but sadly they can't get ready to play two games in a row. You know, it was kind of like they, you know, he mentioned that if, you know, the schedule would have been like this when guys like him and Michael and all those other guys played, they could have probably played five more years. You know, and then at the time when, you know, the game was just getting going back when the NBA was in its infancy, those guys used to play back to back to back, and they had to get to games by train. So imagine the whining we would hear now, Dan, not only if they had to play three games in a row, but if they didn't have a private jet to get them there.
Yeah, well, you know, sadly, it wasn't, you know, the quote players league as it is now. And, I mean, let's be honest, these guys were more about the competition back then. You know, we could do the, you know, the whole friend thing, and, you know, these guys weren't friends and whatever. And I'm sure, you know, some of them legitimately didn't like each other because you're going to get that in any job you have. But at the same time, I mean, if Charles and Jordan really hated each other, they would have never did the McDonald's commercial. But then you can turn around and tell me, but who cares if you don't like each other when you get written that that check that's going to have you do that commercial. So I guess I could shut up on that one. But, I mean, it was a different era. And he's right, though. These guys, I think, cared more about the competition and playing and winning than they did about rest. And, you know,
yeah.
I mean,
well, you know,
if you watch The Baller Life, I mean, it is the way it is now, but I mean, Lonzo has a guy who pretty much is his manager who even cuts his meat for him. I mean, these guys are groomed to be that way, where I think the only thing they do is tie their shoes and put their shorts on. I don't think they really do much else, obviously, except for the workouts and. But, I mean, when it comes to anything else, I mean, they are pampers in the NBA.
Yeah, it's quite humorous. You know what I mean? I give Barkley a lot of credit because, you know, he's one of the only guys who will come out like this and say that. And, you know, he's not wrong. You know, I mean, you would have, you know, while they may have been friends, you know, say, you know, Barkley and Michael were friends, okay. You know, I believe when they met up in the finals that one year, they pretty much wanted to kill each other. You know, and like you don't see that when, you know, LeBron plays any of his buddies. You know, they want to hang out more than they want to play against each other.
Well, and I don't know. I mean, I get it, you guys are friends, but even when it was the Bulls and the Cleveland Cavaliers. All right, so it's pregame. And, you know, everything in the NBA is televised now. I mean, to their entrances into the building. Like, I really give a damn what headphones KD had on and, you know, what time LeBron showed up to the arena. But, you know, while everyone else is running drills and doing the age-old, you know, I like to call it like almost like the Harlem Globetrotters thing. I feel like they should have that music going while they're doing the shoot around. When it was Bulls and Cavs, I mean, everyone else is doing the traditional warm ups, and you've got Wade and LeBron in the middle of the court just talking, hanging out like, you know, good old buddies. And to me, it's not only just shows like, you know, people who paid your savings to come to this game and watch us play, we're really not going to be that competitive because we're boys. But to me, it also shows a kind of a disrespect to the rest of the team on both sides.
Yeah, oh yeah, especially yeah, you're over there, you know, just kind of chatting it up while everybody's warming up, you know, and I mean,
Yeah.
it's not like they're really warm-ups. I mean, you're just kind of going through the
No.
motions. I get it, but yeah, it's just like, okay.
But why even go through that charade anymore? You know what I mean? Like, what's the point of that charade?
Yeah.
You know, and it even comes to this, it almost comes to the point where, you know, wrestling in the old days used to have a heel and a baby face locker room. You know, that tradition has been kind of kept in regular sports with home and road, but the way the NBA is, I mean, why not just have one big locker room?
Yeah. So, yeah, well, you know, I do believe there are people who legitimately don't like each other in the league. You know, I don't know, you know, there aren't too many anymore. And you know, of course, the group at the top, you know, I mean, LeBron's got, you know, Carmelo and Chris Paul, and you mentioned Dwayne Wade, even though he's not at the top anymore. You know, and there's a couple other guys in that group. You know, oddly, I do believe they actually don't get along all that well with like Steph and, you know, Curry and Kevin Durant and stuff, but that's because they're their main competition and they lose to them. So,
Yeah.
you know, I can see there being a little bit of heat there. But yeah,
Well, and
otherwise, I mean,
here, let me put a better scenario to you for you. So we get three locker rooms. Well, there's a big one, which would be all the regular guys like you and I, okay? And this will kind of go back because you don't know exactly where I'm going with this. And then you have two other locker rooms. For LeBron and his friends, and then, you know, like you said, KD and his friends, and they can kind of do their thing because it takes me back to our days. And granted, we weren't making 20 million a match and, you know, on that schedule and garnering, you know, our own superstar status locker rooms. But in our day, you know, we worked venues and companies where you and I were in one locker room and this guy thinks, well, he's the greatest to hit independent wrestling, which he actually sucks, but you know, he probably weaseled some money into the company. That's what made him a champion. And here along comes a former WWE, you know, former Olympia, or not Olympia, Olympic gold medalist, and he just kind of puts his arm around him and ushers him off into their own special locker room. I mean, you know, why doesn't the NBA go that route?
yes, that would be cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But I guess enough of being kind of hypothetically stupid on that stuff. That was the article, and I don't know why I couldn't think of it, but that's the one thing I read this morning that totally stood out to me. We tweeted it out on Sports Time Radio, at Sports Time Radio, Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff. But, you know, I was dying laughing because at the end of the day, Barkley's right. It's the truth. And you know, I hope to hear him say more of that every Thursday night because we both, you and I both know if he wasn't employed by TNT, he wouldn't be employed coming this season.
Yeah, oh yeah. If he was working for, you know, the Mickey Mouse Network, he would be out of a job. You know,
Well, and here,
there's no doubt about it.
you know, Chuck hasn't exactly said, you know, LeBron's name. But 9 out of 10 times, I find it odd, especially with the way this country has been working. You know, and the NBA ran through the last presidential election and everything always has to turn into race. So, you know, Phil Jackson says, you know, pick the wrong word and it becomes a racial thing. But Charles Barkley flat out calls them babies, which, I mean, you want to pull the race card on the Phil Jackson thing. Chuck calling out your manhood. And I don't know, I feel like that can hit a little bit harder than the alleged racial thing, which I don't think Phil really meant anything by that. Oh, how come we haven't heard the king come out on Charles Barkley and his criticism of the league?
Yeah, well, you know, you can't come out on Chuck. You know, the difference between going after Chuck and going after Phil is Chuck is going to respond and you're going to have a you know, be the Twitter beef or whatever you want to, you know, why you want to call it or however you want to do it. You know, that's the thing about guys like Chuck and Shaq on that show, man. They don't mince words when, you know, you're that guy. So I don't believe LeBron, well, I should say I do believe LeBron's people are smart enough to not let him get caught up in that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just, I guess, not even, you know, the whole issue aside, but you're right. I mean, Phil Jackson said what he said, LeBron's going to come back and blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, we both know Phil Jackson's not going to go back and forth with it for two reasons. Well, I think for one, he's just too old. He doesn't care. And the Knicks are paying him a boatload of money to basically do nothing but ruin their team. So, you know, all kidding aside, but I just think it's funny that, you know, even this NHL playoff season, Charles was down in Nashville talking about how great the NHL playoffs were and how much better it is than the NBA playoffs. And just, you know, I was like, damn, give this guy two more years, you know, give him 2 years to watch hockey and he could be a full-fledged analyst for the NHL network. Or, you know, NBC Sports, whichever way you go with it. And, you know, the king had nothing to say. But if Phil Jackson would have said something, playoffs or not, the king would have said something. He would have, you know, in a press conference right after the game, he would have called him out on it, but not Charles.
Yeah, well, you know, the funny thing is, I mean, Phil really didn't say anything racist. LeBron just tried to turn it into a racist argument, and I think that's why it died so quickly. You know, when you kind of looked at it, it was like, okay, he used the word posse, which many people have used many millions of times, and it has really no, you know, adaptation to any color of any people. So it was just kind of like, you know, obviously LeBron was offended and he needed to turn it into something to swing sympathy his way, or, you know, however you want to kind of look at it. And, you know, Phil didn't care. He was just kind of like, okay, whatever, you know, I made my point. I'm done. You know, that's great.
Well, it's almost like, you know, the word posse is calling him and his crew a bunch of villains taking over the NBA, right?
Well, you know, actually, to be fair, you know, a posse is the group that hunts the villains down. They're the good guys in reality. So, you know, it wasn't, you know, any type of negative connotation or, you know, anything like that. It was just LeBron needed it to be that so it would work to his, you know, what he was trying to accomplish. So, but yeah, here, you know, just to kind of where I was going, the general definition of the word is actually a body of men typically armed, summoned by a sheriff to enforce the law. So, normally they are on the good side of things. So yeah, I was just kind of, call it race baiting, call it what you want to do, you know, however you want to call it. That's all LeBron was going for. And luckily it went away very quickly. So we didn't have to deal with it. And, you know, now Phil Jackson has went away, so we don't have to deal with Phil anymore either. But, you know, luckily for us, it is Thursday night, and that means we get our week 3 game in the NFL, and boy, is it a barn burner tonight. We are going to get the San Francisco 49ers at the Los Angeles Rams. Yeah, I didn't make that up. That's actually what we're going to get. So, we, you know, of course, you know, we make all our fun picks and all the stuff that goes along there. So let me load it up here and I can tell you who's going with what here. It looks like I am actually going to be the only one to take the 49ers tonight. Dan, Stu, and Mr. Fantasy are going to go with the Rams. And yes, I know you're shocked. I actually got Mr. Fantasy's pick before, you know, instead of right before kickoff. I believe last week he literally sent me his pick just before the kickoff was happening. So he did get it to me a little quicker today. But yeah, I'm the only one who likes the 49ers tonight. So hopefully I can get a big win and get off to a nice 1-0 start while everybody struggles 0-1. We do have another, technically it's an early game Sunday, as the Ravens and the Jaguars are the first team to visit London. So we'll have to kind of see how that one goes. But kind of back to tonight, it should be an interesting game. You know, the Niners are 0-2, but they've actually played two really close games. And, you know, the Rams went out and they looked fantastic in week one. And then they turned around in week two and looked like crap. So we'll have to see who they are tonight against San Francisco and if San Francisco can get that first win. But, yeah, as it works out, I'm the only guy taking the 49ers. And Dan Schomburg, Stu, and Mr. Fantasy are going to go with the Rams. So,
I can't get behind them.
Yeah, well, I can't get behind either team. You know, both these teams are just ridiculous. You know,
I haven't obviously seen much of the 49ers. I haven't seen much of the NFL because, you know, it's been moving day, every Sunday for the last couple of weeks. So, you know, I probably won't really be able to get it full-fledged in the NFL until after maybe week four or maybe after week four. But you and I both know the first 4 weeks is just the extended, you know, spring training, preseason. So, technically, you know, we have 8 weeks of spring training or preseason, not baseball, 8 weeks of preseason, but, you know, 4 weeks of it technically counts. I don't know. I just lost my faith in San Francisco when they let go of Michigan's coach.
Chip Kelly?
No. What's his name?
Jim Harbaugh.
Jim Harbaugh. How can I forget? I have his autograph.
Yes.
So, I mean, I've kind of lost faith in that team. I don't know, and the Rams have kind of surprised me. You know, just from kind of catching the recap. So, I figured to go with them, but you know, it's one of those where I'm picking against you, but with those two, Mr. Fantasy and Sean Burks too, and I don't know, I feel kind of like our odds are not in my favor.
Yes, you should worry. You should be greatly concerned that those are the people you are siding with there, because it's, you know.
But, yeah. It's okay, very rough so. For you. I'm sure you talked about it a little bit. I don't know how much of a bear down guy Schomburg Stu has been lately, but here we're going into week three. Week two wasn't very great for Mike Glennon. Fortunately, I don't have to use him again unless for some God for, I'm not even going to say it, unless nothing. You know, here again, the experts, the guys who cover sports, the guys who, before this preseason, were looking forward to the fact the Bears were going to totally crap out so they can get, you know, a top draft pick. Now, after, well, maybe not just now, but after one preseason game, they could say that, it, you know, it was after the combined preseason. But it was after one preseason game, because the other ones I watched, and he didn't really do anything. All Bears experts, Chicago fans, they all want Mitchell Trubisky to come in and what? Save the team?
Yes.
You're telling me this rookie quarterback who may have a little bit more athletic ability than Mike Glennon because he maybe moved the ball to the, you know, run with it a little bit faster, or I forget the things he spread the offense. So you bring Mitchell Trubisky in as your quarterback. Who does he throw to? Victor Cruz wasn't the answer. A bunch of guys who were great, you know, 5 to 10 years ago who played with other teams aren't really the answer for start wide receivers. Who does your new number one throw to come save the game and make the Bears go on a, we're on week three, what, a 15-game win streak, right? That's what would happen, right? They get 15-game win streak, and then they go 14-game win streak, whatever. Then they go off into the playoffs and win the Super Bowl because they'll re-sign Devin Hester and he'll run back the game-winning punt return, right? And then we'll see the movie about it in 10 years. So, I mean,
I'm still trying
to get a handle on it and what the obsession is, because this is the same kid who was booed at the Bulls game, the same kid who garnered a D, you know, a CDS rating for all national, you know, covers of the draft, who only got close to a B, but that was with very local and not, you know, high, you know, media, meaning like the, you know, the syndicated radio shows in Chicago, the newspapers, those guys weren't giving these high grades on it. I can't get my hands or an understanding as to why they want to put this kid in on a bad team so that he could just look bad on a bad team. Did you guys figure
it
out?
You and I had went over it before, and you know, you're looking at a kid who has nobody to throw the football to, and his two of his top offensive linemen are out injured. But yet we want to run him out there, and, you know, I don't know what, it's going to be a good learning experience. That's what we're going to go with.
Well, okay. The,
you know,
the,
yeah,
the,
we you yeah, know, he needs to learn.
You said the two top linemen, but the other moniker you forgot was the best guy on, quote, from the experts, the best guy on the Bears offensive line, the best guy on the team, nonetheless, to protect Mitchell, is not in there, and you want to put him out there.
Yeah.
I mean, that just makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
to me.
You know, and it's quite humorous listening to, you know, the, you know, and I mean, they're, you know, they're just as big idiots as you and I are. I mean, they, you know, they've never played in the NFL, you know, they don't know any, you know, any more than you or I do, except they want him in, and I think it's dumb. You know, I mean,
now,
he's not going to learn, he's not going to learn anything except how to get sacked.
Well, and so, I mean, kind of mixing it up. I obviously, being a Cubs fan, haven't been the biggest supporter of White Sox and, you know, what they were doing. But, you know, let's be honest, over the last few years, until this season, we really didn't know what the hell they were doing, because Kenny Williams just likes to do what Kenny Williams likes to do. And, I mean, let's be honest, with the Bears, it's been kind of the same thing. What are you doing? You know, what direction are you going? And John Fox's ambiguity to, you know, taking a stance up until this season has just been crappy. I mean, Dick Cutler wasn't your guy. They should have did something to get rid of him 2 or 3 seasons ago, not waited till this season. It was kind of after the fact. You and I both knew we're not invited to the secret media Bears meeting, where you're not allowed to talk negative about them, otherwise you'll lose your Chicago job. But not as, you know, but that doesn't really happen, even though we both know that if any of the beat reporters covered the Bears in any kind of negative aspect, they probably wouldn't have a job. Only the radio guys can do that. They don't really do that. They just pose questions, you know, so that they can get fans to continue to listen to them. But I mean, you and I both knew Jay Cutler wasn't the man for this organization anymore. He could have been, but they weren't taking that stance behind him. So we both knew. And then finally get rid of him. And it's like, I feel like they're finally making a stance and kind of, without saying it, letting you know what they're actually going to do for once. But do you feel like if they cave in to the media and the fans and put Trubisky in, that you kind of lose the rest of the respect that you might have had left for them and what they're doing? Because I feel like they finally have somewhat of a plan, you know, crap it out this season, like let Mike Glennon take all the heat for it, get a good draft pick next year, maybe get a signing of a good one or two receivers if it's possible, and then you can kind of move forward. I kind of feel like that's the vision that they're going with. And I feel like if they just cave in, then I think that's it for me and caring about the Bears.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, if you're really under the impression that Mitchell Trubisky is and lead you to the playoffs, you know, I think you have other issues that you need to deal with here besides what's going on with Bears football. I mean, it's just not going to happen. I mean, you know, it's great. I mean, yeah, he's the new kid on the block, and this is what we want to see. And, you know, but you can't run him out there in this situation and expect him to be, you know, the savior. I mean, where you're looking at a guy who, in reality, you're just going to get killed. You know, again, and you know, and I'll use the comparison again. Go back and look at what happened to David Carr, not Derek Carr, who's very successful with the Raiders, but his older brother David, who was the number one pick of the Houston Texans, and got sacked so many times that it basically ruined his career. Yeah, you know, why do you want to put your guy through that? And you can't tell me it's a learning experience, because getting your brains beat in isn't a learning experience.
No, and it's so hard because, you know, my commute in the morning has changed a little bit. So I'm listening a little bit more to the Chicago radio in the morning. And, you know, Big Jack, it was different before because I had a 10-minute drive to my, you know, public transport. And I usually got in the good part, you know, with special call-in guests, like John Heyman for baseball. Of course, except for when it was the guy who was going to cover the Bears, it's going to be great. The season's going to be awesome. They still have a chance to win 10 games. I still laughed at that, but, you know, it wasn't these guys pushing the Mitchell Trubisky start that's just been killing me. And I'm like, God, I get it. They're not doing good, but it's been 3 weeks. The kid's not doesn't need to start. I would think you guys would realize that, especially since, you know, you weren't excited about the pick to begin with. Granted, I don't think anyone was excited about the Mike Glennon signing either.
Yeah,
so
you know,
just,
and I mean,
it's beating me. It's beating me over the head with this.
Yeah, thing. You know, it's one of those things that we're just, you know, this is what this year is going to be like. It's a bad team. We're going to get this over and over all year. You know, just kind of, you know, how it's going to be. No matter, you know, like even when Glennon played well in week one and they almost won that game, and in reality probably should have.
Yeah.
They still wanted Trubisky in the game. Well, we've got to put him in. You know, it's time to put him in. Well, you know, here's the funny thing this week, Dan. The Bears are playing the Steelers. Okay, now the Steelers are noted for using multiple defensive fronts and bringing pass rushers from angles that quarterbacks aren't used to seeing. And these are veteran quarterbacks. So you're telling me some kid with limited college experience is going to be able to step in against the Steelers and keep the Bears in the game. You know, also adding in the fact that it's possible Jordan Howard may not play because he's got a banged up shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Yeah, but Big Jack, he looks great against the third stringers.
Yep.
And the Cleveland Browns. Did you forget?
Yep.
You know, and you go back to,
you know,
and how the Bears, you go back to week one and how the Bears should have won, and I heard the best reason why they didn't win and why that pass wasn't caught game. And it was all Mike Lennon's fault because he was a half a second off. Not the fact, not
because,
the fact
because
that
he hit the guy, because he hit the guys in the hands. So.
Yeah. I was completely baffled. I'm like, okay, this is an NFL expert. And he passed, was it three or four passes directly to his receivers? Granted, one of them was a running back. And it hit their hands, and they dropped it. And you're telling me it was because of 0.3 seconds was the reason why they lost
the
game.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with it.
No, because Mike Lennon going to get a pass off 0.3 seconds faster.
Yeah, you know,
or 0.5,
you know, of course, you know, Jordan Howard should have caught that football. Everybody knows that.
Uh-huh.
You know, I believe it was Emery in the end zone was the other guy who should have caught the football.
Yep.
You know, it had nothing to do with Mike Glennon or whoever was playing quarterback or any of that other crap. They should have caught the football, and they didn't.
Yeah.
Bottom line, that's as far as it goes. So
you can't blame
the
new star running back that everyone loves. You can't blame him.
Who did what last week?
Not enough because I didn't win anything in fantasy.
Yeah, he was virtually non-existent. You know, it's always nice when you're out there week one and you can surprise somebody because they don't know who you are. But this is the NFL where they're very smart with their defenses. And after they see you for a week and they kind of get the idea of what you can do, boy, they know how to stop you. You know, so yeah, welcome to the NFL, kid. That's what happens. You know, good luck the next 14 weeks because I'm sure everybody's going to be game planning for you because you're probably the most explosive weapon the Bears have. So good luck with it. I hope it works out for you.
God, I can't wait for the baseball playoffs. You know, that's what sucks
you know,
about
maybe
the last couple of weeks. I know the Cubs are in a good race, but I still can't wait for the playoffs.
Yes. All right. The music means Dan and I are taking off. But, hey, we're going to come back tomorrow at 5:30 to do it again. You know what to do while we're away, though. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Catch up on the blog that went up Wednesday morning. While you're over there, follow the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like if you haven't done that yet. Don't forget this Twitter feed, of course, at sportstimeradio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well if you'd like to track us down. We don't have a problem with that. As always, we appreciate you taking the time to listen to us live. But don't forget, you can listen to this podcast anytime you want at tunein.com.